And good morning, folks, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We're coming to you live this morning. It is October 11th, 2025. We'll be right back right after this song. Stay tuned, folks.
We're going to rise up with the sun in the morning. We're going to start each brand new day with a prayer. Because without the love and kindness of our Lord and our Savior, we sons of liberty can't get anywhere. We're going to do the work our Lord puts before us. And there's a job that surely needs to get done. The job of waking up the nation to the new world order, which is trying to put us under their thumb. We ain't going to wait around any longer. We ain't going to hesitate anymore. Now that we've opened up our eyes and analyzed the situation, we realize that we're in a war. And it's a struggle for the life of our nation, for the survival of our sovereignty. And it's a battle for the heart and mind and soul of the people, for our freedom and our liberty. And so we ain't gonna fight for the new world order. We ain't gonna train to be no UN soldier. And we ain't gonna give the enemy no more aid nor quarter. 'Cause we ain't gonna fight for the new world order. No, 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 no way.
No way.
Jose.
Jose.
Now they can't make us.
Can't
they can't break us.
Can't break
say
us.
Adios.
Adios.
Oh, Boutros,
Boutros.
Surrender my nation to your global plantation? Well, I don't think so. We're gonna fire off some letters to Congress. We're gonna flood them with our faxes and phone calls. We're gonna tell them we the people won't put up with their treason, with their stealing and their stalling and stone walls. And if they keep forgetting just who the boss is, we might as well not pay them any more taxes. If we the people ever finally get our whole act together, we could have the global bankers for breakfast. Because we ain't gonna fight for the new world order. And we ain't gonna train to be no UN soldiers. And we ain't gonna give the enemy no more aid nor quarter. 'Cause we ain't gonna fight for the new world order. Break us. Say goodbye and so long,
so long
to the new boy Kofi Annan. Trade away our system for global communism?
We don't think so.
We're gonna agitate some radio stations. We're gonna try to get them playing our songs. And if they flat refuse to play patriotic music, then we'll know whose side they're really on. And when we take it to the streets of our cities, we'll force the media to cover our action. And when we vote, we're gonna dominate the coming elections, make the Rockefellers wonder what happened. And we said we ain't gonna fight for the new world order. And we ain't gonna train to be no UN soldiers. And we ain't gonna give the enemy no more aid nor quarter. 'Cause we ain't the Republic. Through faith we cannot fail.
Death to the new world order.
And we shall prevail.
And we are back, and you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network this October 11th, 2025. And I'll bring the men on the line. Good morning, men.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, thanks for being here. Tim, why don't you start us off with a word of prayer this morning?
Okay. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day and another opportunity to just take part in your great plan, Lord. We know that your your victory, your campaign that goes on here is righteous. And Lord, sometimes we don't see the ins and the outs, but Lord, we pray you'd open our eyes and our minds, Lord, that you would continue to help our faith in our God to be sufficient for all things that are set before us. Lord, I pray you would forgive our trespasses as a nation and lift us up. Lord, we are thankful to be your standard bearers. Lord, make this show as it goes out this morning, this radio broadcast, make it edifying to the saints. Lord, I just pray that you would put words in our mouth, that you would help us to say the things that need to be said, and that, Lord, would continue to bless your people in every aspect of their lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
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 Yeah, thank you, Tim. I appreciate that. It's been a busy week for me. I tell you what, I think it's been a busy week for all of us because I don't think we hardly got a chance to talk at all this week.
That's yeah. True.
Sometimes it's like, I don't know. I mean, it seems like every week is busy, but you always got a lot going on. But this one, I mean, it's always busy, but then there's just some that just stick out, and it's like, oh, my goodness. How did that all happen? And that all happened in this last week?
Yeah. And it's Saturday again. Really? I mean, yesterday was Monday.
I know. That's what I was thinking. Like, I was like, wow, yeah. Okay, here we go again. It was a good week. Prosperous. Just a lot of stuff going on. Did get the newsletter and mailed out, and the first part of it emailed out. So that was good. There was a couple obstacles that we had to overcome, but it was good. And busy in the office, and it's that time of year where it's starting to cool down, at least for us up here. I know, Will, where you're at, probably not so much, but weather's changing and leaves are changing, leaves are falling, and you can definitely feel fall in the air.
Yeah, in the morning, a long sleeve shirt feels pretty nice.
Yeah, I walked out the door this morning, and it's like I walked right back inside and got a sweatshirt, and it's like, yeah, I'm going to need this, but
you guys shouldn't be bragging like that. It's still very hot down here.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's life. Oh, well. All right. Well, getting to news. I guess some of the big news this week as far as starting off with world news, tariffs, 100% tariffs on China. Is that just a rumor, or is that something that's actually happening?
Well, Trump said it was happening.
that's gonna be interesting if that happens, man. That's like everything. Does that mean that just Amazon just doubled the price? It's like instead of like a 50% off sale, it's like 100% inflation sale.
Well, I think you got between now and November 1st to get what you need from Harbor Freight.
That dolly that I bought that was $100 just went up to $200.
That's right.
Well, yeah, they're going to pass it on. But, yeah, it's definitely going to increase their cost at the border or whatever they're buying it for by, 100% tariff. So, yeah, it's just one of those. Of course, they're going to try and add it. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say where this is coming from is, China controls just a large section of like rare earth minerals and that sort of thing. And they announced Thursday of this week that they were going to essentially the export controls of these minerals that they, I guess for the lack of a better term, they're going to jack up the prices of them. And this affects the world and especially the United States. So this is really retaliation, I think, is what it sounds like, is we're the number one consumer of Chinese goods. and they're jacking up these mineral prices. So Trump said, well, we're going to hit you in the pocketbook, too. I mean, that's kind of how I'm reading it.
That's kind of what I saw as well, and I think that I think that's exactly right. I heard a lot of talk about these all these rare earth minerals that we get from China. Is that for electronics? Is that what that is? Does anybody
cars,
have any idea?
Cars, okay. Manufacturing stuff like that.
Batteries. Yeah.
Because they can produce it so much cheaper there because
no EPA,
know, slave labor, child labor,
no EPA,
and no child labor. I mean, they're basically enslaving their people there. And I think we talk about our tariffs being placed on them all the time, but what people don't really realize is prior to Trump's carrot and stick, which that's what this is. You know, it's like, hey, you want to trade with us? This is the carrot. Here's the stick. We're going to impose tariffs, which it's a sanction, if you will. China has had tariffs on us of 145-150% for years while we've had nothing on them. You know, they've marketed that to the government, he is now saying, okay, look, you're either going to bring these down or we're going to bring these up. We're going to equalize playing field. And they had an agreement in place, they called it the 90-day pause, where those numbers were, tariffs on Chinese goods was set at 30%, and tariff on American products went down from the normal 125% to 10%. But this extension is going to go away November 1st. So I think what this is a back to the carrot and the stick moment again. Hey, let's get these things in place for longer if you want to. If you don't, we're gonna slap you with these. So, and China thinks they can have their own way on this stuff. And I think it's a good play for time. I mean, for one thing, there's certain things that are made over there. Let's just be honest that we don't make here anymore. Because of how cheap it was and how poor management was here. And I mean that as a macro picture, but it's going to take time to get some of these industrial things online. So this buys some time until maybe that can happen, if it happens. But there's definitely some banging going on.
And this is I'm going to step away from our notes and where we're going, but, I needed a new dolly the other day, cargo dolly, and I was trying to find one. And I mean, I knew that, like you mentioned Harbor Freight, they got a pretty good selection of stuff over there, but I really wanted to buy something that was, made in America if I could. and I looked and I mean, all the stores that, even online, just looking, trying to find something that was basically, trying to find something, a U.S. company is what I was trying to find. And it's like, okay, but by the time I was done shopping around, it's like I ended up going back to Harbor Freight and just buying one of them. I mean, I can buy something at Harbor Freight that was, that was really well built and heavy duty, 1,000-pound dolly for $100. I could spend more money, but I was still getting something from, China or Taiwan, no matter where else I went. And, it's just, sometimes you look for this stuff and you try to find something that's made in America and it's just, tough. And, we used to have dollies and different, tools and stuff that were manufactured in the United States. And we used to be one of the biggest exporting nations in the world, and now, like it was said, we are the biggest importing nation in the world. And just talk about the enslavement process that has taken place. It's just it's kind of crazy.
I got something to add to that, and that is this: that I do the same thing, Jason. I'm sure Tim, you do too. But you try to find American-made products. you know, you kind of look at the labels or whatever, and you need to be careful because recently I won't say burned, but misled maybe. I thought I was doing the right thing and saw American flag and USA on the side of a box. So I picked it up and bought it. And after getting home with it, I realized what it said was assembled
in the USA.
Go ahead, Tim.
No, you go ahead. You're just fine.
No. I'm looking at it and diving in deep. You know, I saw the American flag. I saw USA. I thought, you know, I'm doing the right thing. And then doing about 30 seconds of research, I realized this is a Chinese company and Chinese parts. And it's not even like Americans put it together. You know, it was somewhere in California, and I'm absolutely positive that it was just illegal Chinese putting it together in America. I mean, that's what I was getting at.
Well, and years ago when I had a manufacturing business and we were manufacturing some furniture and was getting a lot of buying a lot of supplies and stuff, and I was at a trade show, and, you know, I saw that American flag and made in USA, and I thought, okay, great. Wow, this is, man, this looks just like the China stuff that is coming out of China. But it was like, it really caught my interest. And it's like, I'm like, I kept looking at it. It's like, this can't be made in America. It's just like, it just didn't make sense. I mean, I'm looking at it. It looks like, you know how some of that stuff, you look at it and it's like, the only difference is on what door it came out of, because it's like, it's a carbon copy of something else. And
what color it's
painted. They might paint it in a different color or put it in a different packaging, but it's the same product. There's a lot of that stuff that goes on over in China, but it was, I did some investigative work and found out that, they actually had a town over there in China that was called, they called it USA, but it was spelled USA, and they named that town USA so that they could. So that they could legally say made in USA. And of course they put an American flag on it, you know, and to me, that's just, I mean, that's, well, you know what it is.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. But that's the way that they like to play. I don't know how we got sidetracked on that, but I don't know. It was interesting.
Well, I want to say
this.
Go ahead, Tim.
It is part of the tariff issue. I mean, really, because that's the thing, is they have really, if you think about where you have to buy products a lot of times, and your time investment in trying to find something decent made in the U.S., you know, it's almost an enslavement issue. I mean, it's like, well, you have to buy that from us. You don't have any choice. So, yeah. Go ahead, though, Will. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say that recently I was in a different state, and I had the opportunity to go into a Rule King, and I'm sure people know what Rule King is. We don't have them here in Texas, but
I don't even know what it is.
Really?
Yeah.
Rule King is, think of about the size of a Walmart, only it's a feed store, tractor store, clothing store. I mean, it's like a Home Depot, Tractor Supply. I don't really know how to describe it. Rule King is it's a Midwest kind of thing. At least I thought it was. Neat store. But it's been a long time since I've been in a Rule King. And the last one I was in, and I don't remember which state it was in. Anyways, I went in, Andy and I had to go in, and I was looking for some tie-down straps. And long story short, Rule King is still a store that prides itself on American-made goods, and they're like the old Walmarts, where they proudly have signs up saying manufactured in America, made by Americans, that sort of thing. And I bought a couple of Erickson ratchet straps. They're made up in Michigan. And I'm going to tell you, I paid a lot of money for good straps, but I strapped down what I needed to strap down and realized there's a difference between the Harbor Freight straps and these straps. You know, the quality is there. So I guess there are still places in the United States that pride themselves on American-made goods. And if you look into Rule King, part of their company ethos is they try to source American-made products.
So, that's pretty cool. I like it when you go into a store and they have that sign that says, you know, made in America. That's just, I think that's cool. And it, like you said, it's been such a long time that somebody referred to that about Walmart. But I remember going into Walmart where I was living. They didn't have Walmart, but that was when we used to come back to Colorado. There was a Walmart there, and we would go shopping at the Walmart. And I just remember just being blown away about all the stuff that they had there. And I remember those signs, flags on jackets and clothes and stuff, made in USA. So, but, man, that's been a long time ago.
And I remember tell you what town they were made in. You know,
that's exactly what I was about to say, Tim. Yep. Yeah. That was exactly what I was about to say is, I know at the Walmart where I grew up at in Georgia, the little town that I grew up in, we had a textile mill, a cotton mill, and the socks that they had inside that Walmart came from my hometown, and that was always a big deal, you know, that anyway, I'm sorry, Tim, I cut you off.
No, that's exactly what I was they did the research. So I mean, actually the load of time it takes sometimes just to find something made in the U.S. these days is huge. I mean, you can literally spend 8 hours trying to find a made in the USA product or a something that you need, and then you may come up empty, you know, and those kind of things, when the store did it for you, that was nice because they I didn't have to do the research. I knew it was made in, you know, Dayton, Ohio, by American workers and shipped there. So I was like, oh, that's nice. So, yeah.
Coincidentally, that was also when you could buy a handgun at Walmart.
Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of forgot about that.
I remember I had a friend of mine that bought a Mini 14 at a Walmart. And that was many moons ago.
Yeah.
I remember I think the first Ruger Blackhawk I ever saw was in a display case at a Walmart. I was, I don't know, 5-6 years old, and I just thought it was the grandest thing in the world.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, times have changed a little bit. So.
Well, we'll move on, but I do want to give the phone number out. And I did get this other phone number. It used to be the old call-in number. I got it hooked up this week, so I don't know. I haven't had a whole lot of chance to play with it and to test it out. But that number is 307-745-5913, 307-745-5913. Or you can call in the number that we've been using, 970-224-4203. That's 970-224-4203. And, we'll go back to you guys. I don't know how we got derailed onto that, but I don't know. I thought it was a good topic. Russian forces unleash massive strike on Ukraine overnight. That was anybody know anything about that? I do not.
I was hearing something about their claim.
Go ahead.
I just had heard something about some secret weapon. I don't know if that plays into it or not, but go ahead.
I don't know. They're saying they used this missile, and I've never heard of this missile. It's the Kinzhal missile, and the Russian media that's putting a lot of this out. This appears to be a big deal. And Tim, I read what you're talking about, as far as Putin saying that, you know, that he has something he's about to unleash as far as a new weapon. And I just was reading the death tolls of what Russia is claiming. So, I mean, I'll put a disclaimer on it and say this is what Russia is claiming. And it was these different battle groups of hitting different parts of the Ukraine. In one section, they said they killed 2,360 Ukrainian soldiers. In another section, it was 1,575 soldiers. In another section, 1,355 soldiers. In another section, 1,115 soldiers. And that was in, I guess, one missile deployment at four different locations. So that's a lot of dead folks. And I just think it's, to me, it's the reason why this story is important to me is we don't really hear much about what's going on with Russia and Ukraine anymore, do we?
No.
But
no.
It has not calmed down at all. As a matter of fact, kind of reading the story and looking into it, it sure appears Russia is moving closer and closer to Kiev. Their forces are moving in to the middle of Ukraine. They're taking more and more ground every day. And it's interesting to me that that's not in the news cycle, and it just makes me scratch my head and wonder, you know, this was a big deal 2 months ago.
I know.
Why are we not hearing about it now? I don't know. I let your minds race with that, but it seems like this would be out there and being reported.
Yeah, I think it was probably the same article. It said, you know, like 3,120 service people dead, 4 tanks, 13 armored combat vehicles, 22 cars, 12 artillery pieces, and 3 electronic warfare stations, all destroyed. That's a big deal. I mean, you'd think that that'd be all over the news. I mean, I think that that would be the biggest strike that we've seen in, you know, the last several years.
And
the numbers are just, it's like, okay, I was doing a double take on that. I'm like, really? When this happened? Just recently? It's like, wow.
Yeah.
And,
Yeah.
It
certainly matches the Gaza, Israel. You know, I mean, there was lots of things there as far as tonnage of bombs being dropped, probably more so. But, I mean, the thing is, I think you're not hearing much about it personally because of the fact that Russia basically kind of gave us the ultimate sign of, you know, they're basically saying, hey, you guys mind your own business. And does anybody really think that Russia can't just, I mean, Ukraine's a postage stamp over there, really. And
yep.
We have seen incursions into NATO territory by some of the fighters and bombers, Russian units, and no retaliatory firing. And people are worried about it over there in the area. I mean, that's at least my take on it, or my observation is that, well, we don't want to start none, you know. So I think that what we're seeing here is a situation where it's either going to leave them alone or it's going to escalate if you keep on sticking your nose in their business. And I think that's part of this, kind of goes along with this Hegseth meeting that we've seen, where we're talking about bringing America back to take care of America, you know, and at home centered stuff. I think that possibly that's why it's kind of dropped out of the news cycle to some extent, but that's just pure speculation on my part. But anyways, that's kind of what I wondered.
I agree.
Yeah, very possible.
I think it's interesting too. I mean, this isn't really in her notes, but a lot of folks were expecting, you know, this is our enemy, right? Russia, that's what everybody wants us to believe. And I'm no Russian fan. I'm not trying to say that I am. But, you know, there were a lot of folks expecting President Trump to be considered for the Nobel Peace Prize with all of what he's been doing with trying to end these conflicts. And it didn't go to him. It went to a Venezuelan rebel, a female, is who they gave the Nobel Peace Prize to. And interestingly enough, Vladimir Putin took to social media to discuss his displeasure that Donald Trump didn't win the Nobel Peace Prize and came out and said that President Donald Trump was who would deserve to win the Nobel Peace Prize. And I was reading that thinking, I thought this guy was our enemy.
That's,
you know, and he's coming out publicly praising the United States president, saying he's done more for peace than anyone else in the world. And it's a weird mixed up world where, you know, who do you believe, right? I don't know if you guys got a chance to see that or not, but it just left me scratching my head and thinking, Okay, who's lying here? Is it Putin lying? Is it Trump lying? Is it the media lying? I'm siding with the media every time, you know, that they're the liars. I don't know. Maybe they're all lying.
Very possible.
Yeah.
So. Well, the narrative's sure twisted up, that's for sure. I mean, sometimes it's like, wow, what a ball of twine, you know? It's like,
I saw a quote this morning from Teddy Roosevelt, President Roosevelt, and I haven't fact checked it, so it may not be an accurate quote from him. But if it's not, it should be. It should be. And the quote was, "If you want to make a conservative angry, you tell him a lie. If you want to make a liberal angry, you tell him the truth."
Yeah.
That's pretty accurate.
Pretty accurate. Pretty much the way it is.
They don't want the truth. So, well, and I thought it was interesting. Speaking of which, we've got this government shutdown right in the midst of all this stuff, too. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm in favor of it. I think that I don't know that there's any time that less government's not a good thing. That's kind of my opinion. It's like, let's do that. And, Trump's talking about laying off a bunch of people and all that kind of stuff. And I really think that, 4,000 layoffs or, well, yeah. So, there's a lot of dead wood. I mean, and a lot of that kind of stuff going on. That's like, okay, I think that's a good thing. We need to shrink it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and in some of these other shutdowns, does anybody remember budget surplus at the end of the shutdown? The longer the shutdown was, the larger the surplus was on
the budget.
That's right. And which to me is always kind of comical anyways. It's all deficit spending. So how's there a surplus? But I understand their the words. But point is that shows you, if you don't have all these bodies standing around putting money in the hole, well, there's less spending going on. So, it takes a long time to spend $1 billion. It takes a lot of hands held out. But anyway, that was just for.
Well, and I'm trying to figure out, okay, and maybe you guys got this one figured out. Just how is this government shutdown actually working? Because, I mean, well, our game wardens are still at work. Those are the ones that I was hoping that they would be like, okay, send those guys home and, you know.
Right.
But that didn't happen around here. I did talk to somebody that was that knew a couple of military pilots, and you know, one of them flies helicopters. I think both of them fly helicopters, and they said that they got notice that they're going to be cutting the pilots back, and that there's not going to be. They can either they gave them two options. They said, well, you can either go to work without pay, which I mean, that doesn't sound like a really good, you know, that's pretty tough to do, or we're going to have to lay you off. And so I heard that. Then I talked to one person. They're on a local sheriff's department down here, and they said that that they were talking about that they had funding cuts, and they didn't have funding, and they didn't know what they were going to do. They were looking at laying people off. And it's like, okay, I thought this was a federal government shutdown. I don't understand why it would be affecting a local, county sheriff's department, which didn't make any sense to me. But then it's just like, I mean, nothing about this whole thing really makes sense. You guys figure that one out? I mean, what's the real skinny with
federal grant?
Is that what it is?
The reason why the locals are getting affected, Jason, and you're seeing it everywhere from like State Department of Transportation. So like you were talking about with local sheriff's offices is they're not considering, and I say they being the feds, that essential allocation of money. So the stuff that was paying for highways or like the grants going to the local sheriff's offices, all of that's just getting frozen. Some of it now, and the money that's not getting frozen is the money that's going for like the border initiatives and to round up the illegal aliens. All of that is still flowing.
Okay.
Because I don't know why, but it is. But a lot of the other grants that are coming through to local governments, that's being frozen. And the other side of it is, like you said, like my understanding is, I mean, I would love to hear from you guys on this, is they're saying the government shut down, but there's like zero indication that the federal government is shut down. I think right. they've shut up some maybe some national parks, or maybe the trash isn't getting picked up at the national parks. I don't know what's going on there, but what I would like to see, you know, shut down, like the freaking ATF is still working. Right? Yeah. Why can't we shut that down? You know, if you're going to start doing a decision tree of, you know, triaging what should be shut down and what shouldn't be shut down, it sure seems like the stuff that's getting shut down. I mean, if you stop and think about this, we were talking about at the beginning of the show, the cooler weather and all that. The peak season of tourism in national parks is over. Because we're going into the colder months. So they're going to shut down some national parks. What does it matter if they shut down this time of year anyway? You know, so what are you really gaining of this government shutdown? To me, it's kind of smoke and mirrors.
That's what I think it is, too.
I think it's smoke and mirrors. And I got a couple of things on that real fast. But one of it is there's some strong indication coming out right now of different elected officials, one of them being Chuck Schumer, one of them being Hakeem Jeffries, and some other folks. I think even Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, made some comment about this, that the Dems, the left side of government there in D.C., they're unwilling to do anything on this government shutdown until the No Kings protests are over on the 18th.
Yeah, I heard that too.
They're expecting that thing to be a big deal too, then.
Well, they're sure trying to pump it up.
That's what I see. Yeah, they're using this as gasoline to pour on the fire of inflaming it to make it bigger than what it is. And I find that interesting, because, you know, we're sitting, you hear things a lot about treason and that sort of thing, and you stop and kind of think about what that statement, really what they're saying is, so you have elected officials who are intentionally log jamming the federal government's budget in order to create an environment for anarchy. That seems like treason. And you know, Tim, you can't have treason without insurrection, right? I mean, I'm scratching my head thinking, like, am I the only one seeing this? Like, why are these people even legitimate? Why are, you know, we should be lighting torches and, you know, tying nooses or something. I don't understand why it is this way. Well, I do understand. We live in a wicked, fallen world where people are taking orders from Satan, and I mean that's why it is this way.
Well, I'm seeing. I think that the mechanics of this shutdown are, you know, things that are national security programs are exempt. I mean, they're going to continue to function, and a lot of these larger groups like that are given extended budgets. You know. So that this kind of an event leaves them insulated from it. But, you know, apportion funding programs like we were talking about, the sheriffs, the some of the other groups, they're state-run programs, but the state collects money, sends it to the federal government. The federal government apportions it between the states on roads, different things like that, and says you get back this much or we pay you this much. And those programs are frozen. So, you know, it's kind of leaves you with that. But what we're seeing here a lot is, and I think it's targeted to some degree, probably should be, and it's probably by plan, but a lot of these entitlements are suspended. Things like, and I think that's where it's really hurt. It is going to throw gasoline on the fire of the No Kings protest, but then everything we want as far as our thought processes go, say, we don't want to give health care to illegal aliens. We don't want to give, you know, housing to illegal aliens. We don't want to give food benefits to those. So those entitlements are suspended because of this. And I'm sure there's some collateral damage in that system of people who probably should, be okay, but they won't because of the fact that those things are going on. So, that's kind of what I'm, and it, this also gives, and I heard some, I don't know, what do you want to call it, rumors or back talk about the fact that with some of these governmental alphabet soup agencies being closed down, this has given them a chance to go in and audit these agencies while nobody's around, or, well, you know, so.
I hope they sharpen their pencil.
Yeah, so there's that as well, possibly. I mean, we're seeing some things there that it's an opportunity probably in the right hands. That's, you know, just what I'm seeing.
And talking about all of this, the funding sources and the federal government, you know, shutting things down and that sort of thing, I saw this and it made me giddy. I mean, I was happy as I could be. Did y'all see the story about the UN gutting its peacekeeping force?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the United Nations has yes, the United States has stopped sending money to the United Nations, so they're having to cut all of the blue helmets. They're recalling them from all over the world. I think they said something like there's 50,000 blue helmets across the world acting as peacekeepers, and if I remember correctly from the story, I think that they brought back 15, 20,000 of them and sent them back to their respective homes because there was no money to keep them deployed. And all I can say to that is praise God.
I think their budget's going to be cut or is cut.
Yeah. And Tim, you may remember off the top of your head, but was it 50%? The United States was responsible for 50% of the UN budget,
I think,
or something like that.
It was close to, yeah. We were floating the bill for the majority of it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We always have. I mean, it's like, really? And then, yeah, you get treated like you basically host them on your land. I mean, you know, and you pay the bills and everything else, and then you get treated like a third.
Yeah, exactly. Peacekeeping forces, my, oh my.
Yeah.
They, you know, I like it the way that Carl Klang said it, those bright blue helmets make darn good targets.
In my office, I have a UN helmet that has a 308 hole through it, and I keep that displayed. And over the years, I've had several people ask, "So where did you get that from?" And I mean, my standard answer is typically exactly where you think. And it's a good conversation piece.
Well, I would say so.
Yeah, that,
that's good stuff right there.
What happened? Yeah. Oh, that's good. Yeah. So
yeah. Yeah, turns out those helmets, they maybe should have gotten an American manufacturer.
Oh my!
Maybe they were made in USA.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I tell you, I know this is not in my notes by any means, but I wanted to say that I got a video that I watched this week. I watched it actually. Derek sent it to me a couple days ago, and I've watched it two or three times. I just posted it up on the Newswire. If you go to sfawbn.com and check it out, it's you know, we're talking about what the stuff that's going on in Canada. And I mean, it's just an eye opener. It's a really good documentary, not really a documentary. I mean, it's not a very long video, but it goes through and shows what is going on in Canada and how this, you know, these Muslims have just overtaken them. And, you know, the Canadians are fed up. I mean, they've just had enough. And, I mean, they're talking to some of these Muslims and the Muslims up there are wanting to get rid of the English language. They want Sharia law to be the law of the land. And, you know, basically it's like, and there's at one point in the video, they're talking with some, you know, Canadians talking to one of these Muslims and, you know, they're basically, they said, you know, we're going to outbreed you guys. And there's not going to be enough of you. And by, you know, this year, or, you know, talking about something, some date in the future is, you know, when, you know, you guys are going to be a minority and we're going to be the majority. And, I mean, they're blatant and, you know, just putting it out there. And, you know, I'm looking at this thing too. And it's like, I mean, it's, you've got to be, the numbers don't work. I mean, the way that they're pumping the money into these Muslims and to giving these illegals and these refugees or whatever, the amount of money that they're paying them to, you know, come in and to work at different places, you can't make that. I mean, you can't make it work. And it's got to be, I mean, there's got to be just huge funding around it. And I think that it is basically. It's like we're seeing that up there. A lot of those people were our people. There are Jacob Israel, you know, brothers and sisters. It's and, you know, the more that I look at this, the more that it's just becoming blatantly obvious that it's Esau Edom that is trying to destroy them and to wipe them out. And I think that it's just, you know, it's just one of the battlefronts that's taking place. And it's up there, you know, north of us. We're talking about a lot of these different wars and stuff and things that are happening, but this is, you know, this is something that, you know, really, we don't hear a lot about it. And, it's a real right. fight. And I just encourage people, I want people to see it. And, I think that this is a really good account of, you know, just a glimpse of what is happening up there. And I want people to check that video out. It was just, I mean, and, you know, we're people that we talk about this and we know what's going on and we're informed on it. And there's just a lot of people that just don't have any clue. I was talking with Brother Zach the other day, and he was telling me that he was on a tree job, and he was talking to, I guess, some of the dairy farms up there in Michigan. They had they were some of the people that employed a bunch of these South Afrikaners, and they moved a bunch of them up there, and he was talking with one of them, and he's like, hey, you know, didn't you guys, you know, talking about, it's a slaughter over there, isn't it? Isn't it? I mean, how horrible it was and everything like that. And the guy kind of looked at him and was just like, you know about that? And, you know, was shocked that Zach knew anything about it, and said, and he was, as they were talking, he's like, yeah, nobody around here knows anything about that. I mean, they have no idea. They have no clue. And, you know, yeah, that's predominantly the way that it is. You talk about South Africa for the people, they have no idea what's going on. But, you know, it's basically is what they want it to be, is an extermination over there. And it's fighting against, you know, again, our brothers, you know, they're fighting against Israel, the true Israel.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's amazing for the amount of money that we send out across the world from our country. It's just like things like the UN, foreign aid, you know, all these monies go everywhere, but our population, our citizens, as a general rule, are horrifically underinformed about what's going on the world stage out there. You know what I mean?
Yes.
They watch the nightly news, and if it doesn't say anything about it, well, it's not a problem. You know, everything's good out there. So, and there's beginning to be more and more people that are waking up to the fact that, hey, there's people out there, and there's things going on that we're not hearing about. So, yeah.
Well, I'm going to make a plug for this. I just got a new book in that, I got one in and then I decided to carry it, and it's called Bula, Bulala. And its title is, A True Story of South Africa. And, I plan on interviewing this, gentleman. He's from, South Africa. He wrote a very good, book on basically the history and of South Africa and some of the things that have happened over there. And I haven't finished the book, but been reading bits and pieces of it, and just a really good book. But I think that it'll be a good one, an eye-opener to for a lot of people. And was talking with the publisher that published it, and he said that he said it's a fantastic book. He said the guy that wrote the book is he knows him very well. He said he's a really good guy. He understands who true Israel is, and we're planning on having him as a special guest on the radio here coming up. So I'm looking forward to that. But Bula, I think that the book is normally it retails for about $30. We've got it on sale, introductory price for $25. But it's definitely worth getting. So anyway, I figured I'd throw that out there real quick. Yeah.
Can I throw some out, Jason?
Absolutely.
In talking about South Africa and all of this, and it's just a quick comment of you know, people, because we don't know as a nation, as far as the United States is concerned, and really Israel. I'm going to say our people really don't know what has happened in South Africa and who did it. But the ruling party in South Africa since 1993 has been the African National Congress, the ANC, which is it's always reported as a black party, an African party, and they certainly have communist ties. But I want to read a list of names to you of who the founders of the ANC were in 1963. So in 1963, the African National Congress was founded, and these were the founding members: Lionel Bernstein, Bob Heppel, Dennis Goldberg, Arthur Goldreich, Hazel Goldreich, and James Cantor. They were all Jews, and they were all refugees from Eastern Europe who had settled in South Africa in different trades, in the diamond trade and some other trades, and they formed the African National Congress. About a year after they formed it, they brought in some black figureheads: Nelson Mandela, Walter Sisulu, Govan Mbeki, Raymond Malaba, and Ahmed Kathrada. All of these were black guys that they brought in, and they radicalized them. They actually had a Jewish Bolshevik school in South Africa, in Johannesburg, that radicalized these guys. And that's the real story behind the ANC that rules South Africa now, that it was a Jewish construct that started in 1963. It's the same old crap. Same usual suspect, guys.
Bunch of dirty rats.
Yep. So, anyways, I know that's off topic, but I felt like it.
Oh, that's good. Very good. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of founders, I got one message in here. Harvey says Soros and one of Sam Walton's daughters are two of the main funders of the No Kings protest, and one of the National Teachers Unions, American Federation of Teachers, is also one of the main funders of No Kings. Can you say screw Walmart and learn how to homeschool?
That's
what he said. But, yeah, it's like. Yeah, there's some things where you got to identify some of these people that go on it, like Will just said, the usual suspects. So
the usual suspects. You know, Sam Walton, the founder of Walmart, he had a champion line of hunting dogs, and there used to be they carried a line of dog food inside their store that they produced themselves called Old Roy, because that was the sire, the father of those hunting dogs. That Sam Walton had, and I believe they were red bone coon hounds, if I remember correctly. And I was just sitting here thinking, when you said this, Tim, it's funny how your brain works. My brain thought, I bet Sam Walton is more proud of that dog than he is his daughter.
Yes. I think he's probably rolling over his grave. So.
No kidding.
Yeah.
No kidding. Hey, I recently I had a chance to visit with some Canadians jumping back. You know, I hear what Derek has to say through you, Jason, and I read the news stories. But I recently had a chance to visit with some Canadians and do some business with them, and they're in the heavy equipment business. And firsthand story, right? So this is firsthand. They're in Ontario, and two things. One, they say they don't go to Toronto. They said, yeah, we don't go to Toronto. It's a third world city now. They avoid that like the plague. So that's number one. And number two, they said they actually ended up buying their own trucks, their own semi-trucks to do their own hauling, because they said that the Ontario government, the Canadian government, had made it so unfavorable to natural-born Canadian truck drivers.
Yep.
That the only thing that they could get were Sikhs, turban-wearing Sikhs, to do their deliveries for them. And I asked, you know, why that was the case, and they said, well, it's real simple. They said the Sikhs are underpricing everyone by 50% to 100% at times. Like, literally, they're doing it for pennies on the dollar because they're getting subsidized by the Canadian government. So, and I'm making up the numbers. So if it's a $1,000 hauling job, the Sikhs are coming in and saying, we'll do it for $250 because the other $750 is being paid by the Canadian government. So the Anglo, the local Canadian truck driver, the owner operator that's doing hotshot work, they're out of business because these bigger businesses that are just looking at the dollars and cents of it, they're no longer using those folks. And that goes back to the Trudeau government. And if you remember a couple of years ago, the trucker protest that happened where they, you know, all of the truckers went, I think that I was at Ottawa or Toronto. I think it might've been Toronto where they went downtown and parked the trucks. That was what I was being told, is that's really the story behind all of this. The media was telling you, you know, that it was fuel taxes and all of this sort of stuff and COVID lockdown. They said, no, it was really this invasion of these foreign truck drivers that were brought to Canada for these purposes. And I just inquired, I said, you know, is it just the long haul guys, the big truck drivers? And said, no, man, it's wrecker services. It's any of those professions.
That's what I've watched quite a few videos on the tow trucks over there, and it's the same deal. I mean, that's the way it is with the tow truck industry and basically everything. And they've got these guys. It's a mess. It's a mess. They got videos of these guys, these sheiks, driving down with their turbans and their feet sticking out the window, just lean back. And the thing is you know, they have no value on human life, not even their own. I mean, and if they wreck a semi truck and killed, they're going to get rewarded for it, as far as they're concerned.
Or reincarnated.
Oh, you know?
Maybe they're hoping they're going to come back as a white guy. I don't know.
Well, you know, it's some more of that. If you look at it, it's an aspect of warfare, because transportation is always one of those. I mean, it's a foundational cornerstone of any society's function. You know, I mean, you can't function without transportation, without being able to move things around. And so
it's logistics, sure.
Yeah, you know, it's just like the Ho Chi Minh Road in Vietnam. You know, they went in and, you know, destroyed the road. Why? Because that's where the trucks were coming from that were bringing in supplies and everything else. I mean, it has to be controlled in some way for you to control that civilization or that society. I mean, you have to. So it's an obvious strike.
Going along with what you're saying, Tim, and I know we're coming up on the top of the hour break, but let's stop and think about this. Think about the American Revolution during that time frame, and the sitting government, the British government, they brought in the Hessians, the German soldiers, foreign mercenaries, and paid them to come in and like secure the roads, for example. They were going to prevent any of the rebels as far as their supply chains from moving through. What is really the difference with what the Canadian government's doing? They're bringing in foreign nationals to economically go to war with the local indigenous citizens of Canada, the white Anglos that are Canadians, and they're paying them. It's not that they just have a liberal policy of allowing foreigners to come in. According to the guys I was talking to, they are completely subsidizing the fuel, the truck purchases, and giving them monthly stipends. There is no way for a local Canadian, a natural born Canadian, to be able to compete with what is happening there when it comes to this industry. And if that's not war using foreign mercenaries, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Derek, he chimed in, sent me a message. He said, Will is 100% correct. I talk to these trucking companies daily in my industry. He also said, it's a known thing here that they provide a hauling service at less than it would cost for fuel. I mean, yeah, that ties in perfectly. It's like, that's what it is. It's warfare.
It's warfare.
It hits you twice because you can't work and make any money, and then they take money out of your other pocket to pay them their stipends and their, you know, their offsets and everything else.
Mm-hmm. So, I know. As I watched this video the other day, it's like, I mean, I kept thinking it was like poem by Rudyard Kipling kept coming back, you know, and talking about the day the Saxon began to hate. And it's like, man, I'm watching this and I'm like, boy, the day that the Canadian begins to hate, it's going to be a great and terrible day, because I mean, just, boy, if they had an uprising, it would be, wow. It'd be interesting, yeah. But I really think that there's going to be something that's going to happen one of these days. And there's going to be a switch that's flipped and it's going to be game on. We're going to play Cowboys and Muslims.
Yeah. I've wanted to visit Canada. Maybe that would be a good reason.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we are at the top of the hour. We're going to take a break, folks. We'll be right back after the song. Stay tuned.
None are so hopelessly enslaved as those who falsely believe they are free. The truth has been kept from the depths of their minds by masters who rule them with lies. They feed them on falsehood till wrong looks like right in their eyes. For all of those with eyes that can see, whose spirits are quickened by words they can hear, the truth is alive and he lived as a man whose life was a gift to this world. And if he has called you, this mystery will soon be revealed. And it will set you free. The truth will set you free. Like he set me free. Jesus, the way and the truth and the life, whose grace is so wondrously free, who came from the Father and laid down his life, he is soon to return for you and me. All his lost sheep wandering in this world, who grope through the darkness, who stumble and fall, your shepherd is searching, he's calling your name, he's seeking you out night and day. And if you should hear his sweet voice, let him guide. Because he is the way. Yes, Jesus is the way. He is the only way. Life.
those who hope and pray they'll see the day. Who patiently wait for his kingdom to come. Your sins have been cleansed by the blood of a man whose death on the cross paid the price. There's only one name and it's only through his sacrifice we obtain his life, because he is the life. The name is Jesus Christ. Jesus, the way and the truth and the life, whose grace is so wondrously free, who came from the Father and laid down his life. He is soon to return for you and me. Jesus, the way and the truth and the life, whose grace is so wondrously free, came from the Father and laid down his life. He is soon to return.
And we're back, and you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, October 11th, 2025. And where we want to go next, guys?
Well, we've hashed the world over pretty good. We can move on to something close to home. So, yeah. Although I think it all kind of ties into home, but
I agree. Well, let's go to some national news. So I tell you what, one of the things is going back to this Charlie Kirk assassination. I'll tell you what, there is so many different. It seems like every day there's a new theory or something that's popping up, and it was this, it was that, it was, you know, who did it, I think we know who did it. Are you guys following any of the stuff that's been popping up recently?
Quite a bit of it.
I am.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple things, and I don't know a lot about it, but there's just so many things that are just strange that just don't make any sense. Like, you know, remodeling the area where he was assassinated, and supposedly that there was that trap door, and there was actually drone footage of that. But they moved awful fast on tearing that all the concrete out and everything like that right away. That was just, you know, just strange. But the thing, what I've noticed about it is there's a lot of people that are waking up saying, we think the Mossad was responsible. We think the Jews killed Charlie Kirk. And I've heard that from people that I never would have expected that from. That's one of the things that, you know, you hate to say that one of the good things that's coming out of it, but something that's good that came out of a bad situation. And I see a lot of people that are waking up and they're talking about it. So, I mean, that's definitely encouraging.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of questions being asked, and in some cases the silence is deafening, and that's definitely casting shadows on the things that are done. And then we've got, I think Will was the one who said it right along. You know, you got Netanyahu at every available opportunity. Mm-hmm. We didn't do it. It wasn't us. You know? So, but
Well, one of the things that I thought was really interesting, too, is that, he was told, you know, whatever by the, you know, Jewish, whoever the Jewish handler was, but they didn't want, they wanted him to cancel Tucker Carlson from being at one of his events. And he said no. And they said, well, you know, we can't do that because he is, he's anti-Semitic, talking about Tucker. And, you know, he told him basically, he said, no, I'm not going to be bullied. I'm not going to be, you know, told, who I can have at one of our meetings. And,
right. Interesting on that, Jason, is, you know, over the last few days, there's been, whatever you want to call it, I guess a little bit of a scandal that Candace Owens, who, you know, a black lady who worked for Turning Point USA at one point. A lot of people don't like Candace. This isn't really about that. I will tell you, Candace Owens speaks the truth when it comes to things like the Jewish question, the USS Liberty. She's been very outspoken on topics that we would share the same beliefs on. She came out very quickly and she said it's Israel, right? She said it's the Jews. And she talked about having some text messages directly from Charlie Kirk. And I think the media, Turning Point USA, I think Netanyahu made reference to this in one of his many apologies or I didn't do it moments or whatever. Well, on October the 6th, she dropped those text messages. And now Turning Point USA has come back and said, okay, those text messages are real. And the key there is what Charlie Kirk said in this, what you were just talking about, Jason, in this text message thread, he said, quote, "I just lost another huge Jewish donor, $2 million a year because we won't cancel Tucker. And I'm thinking on inviting Candace." This is to the American First tour, what you were talking about. And Charlie Kirk then said, "The Jewish donors play into all of the stereotypes. I cannot and I will not be bullied like this. They're leaving me no choice but to leave the pro-Israel cause." Now, we were told, you know, in the wake of this, everybody that, you know, was, oh, no, you know, he loved Israel. There's no truth to this, all of this sort of stuff. Well, those are his words, right, from the grave. Tucker Carlson went on to say in response to all of this, Tucker said, who was a close friend of Charlie Kirk, Tucker said he did not like Bibi Netanyahu and said to me many times and to many people around him many times that he felt that Netanyahu was a destructive force. And Tucker Carlson went on to say there was a very small, very intense group that tormented Charlie Kirk until the day he died, and that was the Jews. And you look at that and stop and think, well, maybe that's why Netanyahu is just keeping on saying that he didn't do it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think so, too. I tell you what, you read those text messages, I mean, it was it's pretty telling. The phone number to call in this morning is 970-224-4203, or you can call 307-745-5913. Or you can call 970-484-5213. To me, it was telling. And it was like, whoa, I mean, lights went on. Somebody woke up and, boy, they didn't want that. I mean, yeah, can you imagine what would happen if he went full bore on that on the campuses?
Which talking looks like the way he was headed.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yep.
Well, let's go to the phone lines. Hello, caller.
Hey, Jason.
Hey, Warren, how are you?
I'm doing good. I was just listening in. You know, you talk about Charlie Kirk. I didn't know that they're tearing down all that stuff to the podium or whatever, but I think there's a lot of cover-up in there, just like there was with John Kennedy. You know,
yep.
Look at all the years it covers that assassination up. And that's why you have to pray for Bobby Kennedy even more, because, you know, when you're out to get somebody, they get them. And that's my thoughts on it.
I agree. Good point, Warren.
I agree.
Yep.
I mean, they did good at covering the CYA.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Well, you talk about the body count and whatever there in UK, too. You know, during the Vietnam War, they falsified that body count.
Yeah.
I don't remember which one it was, but it was a false body count. You know, so our government hasn't worn a white hat for a long time, you know. And we're supposed to pray for them, too. So, well, God bless you.
Well, thanks for calling, Warren. I appreciate it.
Jason, I got one.
Yes.
Before we move past Charlie Kirk, it's been a while since this has happened, but it happened to me this week. It happened to me just in the last couple of days. I caught wind of something. I jumped online. I read the news story. Well, it wasn't news story. It was, I guess you would call it a news story, an online story. Nick Fuentes, who's a conservative leader, alternative leader, whatever you want to call him, does not have Charlie Kirk's widow, Erica Kirk, in very high regard. And he has been very vocal against her taking over Turning Point USA. He made mention of something, and I researched it. I read the stories. Last night, I went back to read the stories, and they are completely gone from the internet. Hadn't happened to me. They are completely
tracking pretty good, because I think I know what you're about.
Completely gone from the internet.
Yep.
To the point of they've been replaced 2 days ago on, well, 3 days ago now, on Wednesday. I read the news stories, or the story, the online stories, of how and where Charlie Kirk met his wife. Last night, I went to find those same news stories. They're gone, and they were replaced with a completely different story. And the story I read on Wednesday is Erica Kirk, who is a former Miss Arizona, and Charlie Kirk met in Israel.
Yep.
At a conservative AIPAC-sponsored event.
Yep.
And that was the first meeting that they had. And that is completely wiped. It now says they met at an airport in New York. That is the narrative now. And Nick Fuentes, and I don't want to sit here, and I mean, this woman's a widow. I don't want anyone to think I'm not caring or whatever. But what is being suggested by other people is the government of Israel, that she is what they call a honeypot, right? A honey trap. And she was placed and put in the right position, and recognizing where Charlie Kirk was going, they wanted to make sure they had someone very intimate with him at all times. And I don't know if that's true. I have no reason to believe it's true, but I will tell you we were told that there were no text messages saying that he was leaving the pro-Israel cause, and now we know that's a fact. So I don't know what to believe. I just find it, all conspiracy theories aside, these are my own two lying eyes, that a couple of days ago I read online the stories, and now they're non-existent. They are not there.
Yeah, I had some links and various talking points kind of laid out, and they all disappeared too. So it's been scrubbed, and that's a little weird, but yes,
probably just a coincidence.
If they there's yeah that's there's the question there of her parents being involved in DOD and
yep.
pro-Israel
yep.
AIPAC rallies and everything else, and
yep.
and she was a. You know, when you look at all that, it kind of leaves you scratching. And then the other thing that, I don't know, maybe this is just me talking, but isn't it interesting that a few days after all this happened, she just publicly forgives the guy who killed her husband? Because that's
amazing, isn't it?
quote Christian, quote thing to do. And it's like, whoa, that was, So I don't know what kind of Christianity she practices, but it's not mine. So, but anyways, that's a little odd. So ask some questions about
it. Agreed.
Well, and then there was some even some stuff that tied back. This one of the first articles that I read, and it was in the article that was talking about when Charlie and Erica had met, and it was the same thing. It was on a trip to Israel, and first time that they ran across each other. But then I was trying to find it. And I guess I should have printed it, but it went into her parents also, and how they had. Ties to government contracts and Department of Defense and different things like that. And it's like every time, how come we have these people that there's a lot of people that have died or committed, these murders or mass shootings, and they've got these ties, a parent or something that is tied to Department of Defense. I mean, it seems like almost. It just keeps popping up, and it's just, it's interesting.
It makes you wonder why Eisenhower said beware of the military-industrial complex, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
And maybe it's just he wasn't just talking about bombers and tanks.
Right. Well, there's a big budget. Yeah, there's a big budget for psyops and covert operations.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. Yeah.
And after the other side, the military-industrial complex, I think people think bombers and tanks and machine guns, and they don't think the intelligence services like the Mossad and the CIA, which are one and the same, that is the military-industrial complex. And like you were talking about with PSYOPs or MK Ultra or whatever the case may be, that I think is probably what Eisenhower was talking about, is that influence of the military-industrial complex into everyday society, because Eisenhower was a five-star general. The man was a military man. I don't think he was opposed to bazookas and tanks. I think what he was opposed to was the undue or unnecessary or unwarranted influence on everyday American life. And I think that's what he saw coming. I think that was what was so evident when he was president. And I know folks know what we're talking about, but the first televised farewell address of a sitting president was Dwight David Eisenhower back in, 59, I think, something like that. And he warned the American people to be aware and be wary of the military-industrial complex and their undue, unwarranted influence. And there's been great debate on what he meant by that. But like I said, he was a military man. I don't think the guy was opposed to tanks and bazookas. I think he saw what was coming, and it came very rapidly after his departure.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's all
How do we get off on that?
Well, it ties in with the Charlie Kirk thing. I mean,
it does. It does.
Yes.
What about do you guys know anything? We'll switch gears a little bit, but this munitions plant in Tennessee that blew up yesterday. Anybody got any insight on that, or just the basics?
Basically, just kind of the basics. But it was huge. I mean, there was 19 or 20 people are missing, which.
19 missing, but they said that the blast could be felt 20 miles away. So,
And it's a big plant over there, close to Nashville or Bucksport, I think.
It's about an hour west of Nashville. 1,300 acre facility, and from what I understand, it just blew up. But anytime you hear a munitions plant like that that's providing explosives and stuff for the military and stuff. I mean, you automatically think about, what happens during warfare. It's like we bomb their factories, they bomb our factories. That's the first thing that jumped into my head. It's like, we got something that, producing stuff for, you know, our military.
Me too.
And boom, it's gone. And it's like, I mean, they're not going to rebuild that overnight. But that thing must have been, I mean, just huge. They said that, 20 miles away, you think about that, 20 miles away, being able to feel the blast from that, that's huge.
I drove through Bucksnort on Monday. It's just a very coincidental deal. On my way home, I drove through Bucksnort on Monday. There's not much there, but there is. I think that munitions factory is like the leading employer in that area. It's a little too far out from Nashville to be a commuting destination. You know, it's a little too far, but I know they employ a bunch of folks there. But yeah, like you were saying, Jason, there were people in the suburbs of Nashville that felt the explosion. So it had to be huge. It is the first thing that came to my mind too, was just my limited experience with these munition factories. You know, safety is number one priority. There's safety men that, you know, are overseeing safety men, right? Like they're making sure that things are done correctly. So there are lots of explosive and munitions factories and ammunition manufacturers across the United States. You just don't hear this. It's not a normal thing that happens. So it was either a gross lapse of safety or something else, and I'm leaning towards something else.
Those campus is really big. I don't remember how many acres it covered, but they do keep their buildings spread out just so they don't have chain reaction explosions and different things like that. But the words that were used was military explosives or bomb plants. So you would think that, given the fact that bombs are entirely made to go boom, that there would be enhanced levels of safety and security in place. So, and also, they've been doing it for years there. It's not this place didn't start up yesterday. Protocols have been in place that have protected people. So I tend to think the same thing. Accidental is questionable. I mean, highly questionable. So, and they've got a lot of people on the ground right now investigating, and they're saying it's going to take months to investigate this. So
my first gut feeling wasn't a foreign national. I don't know what you guys thought, but my first feeling was this is going to be some Antifa radicalized homegrown person that just happened to have a job inside.
Yeah.
And they touched that stuff off. Yeah. That's what I thought.
Well, my other thought was I thought that exact same thing. And then, you know, I heard them talking about, how they're going to investigate this and that. And it's like, how are you going to investigate this? There's nothing left to investigate. I mean, how do you investigate how this started in this building? There's a crater where that building was. I don't know. Maybe they can't. I don't know. But it's like, I wouldn't trust whatever they put out either.
A lot of rubble sifting, because it definitely spread it around. I mean, there were cars that were, way across the way, long ways away, that were totally destroyed just from the blast wave, and vehicles and stuff. So, it is passing strange that just suddenly blew up out there in the middle of nowhere where they make stuff all the time.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
We had some riots up there in Chicago just recently. This one says federal authorities came under siege in Chicago as a horde of domestic terrorists hurled projectiles at agents and their vehicles during a string of attacks this weekend, the Department of Homeland Security says. I don't know. Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, caller.
Good morning, man.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Hey, Kevin. How are you?
How are you guys? Hi, Kevin.
Doing well.
Yeah. There's one story that got swept away pretty quick last week.
The guy that they're saying started the fires at the Palisades in California.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot of information that builds up the their case against him, and he's admitted that he started a fire a week before, by a small fire, and he got a ground fire going, and then it erupted all over the place. And I don't see how that could have happened. Could be you could get a ground fire going through the root system and so in a dry climate like that. But he didn't drain the reservoirs. He didn't stop the people from going in there to stop the fire, did he? So, what do you gentlemen think about that?
No, I mean, California's been, I think that a lot of it has to do with, you look at this and it, Newsom, what he had done before to, you know, take the water away. And, I mean, the thing is, you know, taking the water away, taking them out of the reservoirs and taking it away from the farmers and everything that he's done over the last several years, it's like, yeah, who, you know, they've been set up for having fires for quite some time.
Yeah,
well, yeah,
that seasonal thing, the Santa Ana winds and all that came into effect. I think the man's a pasty.
I think
we're still seeing all the DEI hires in California and everything else for fire chiefs and for all that kind of stuff. Inept, incapable people who are hired only because of practices that are not relative to the job position. So there's that issue there too. Incompetence is still incompetence.
Yeah. Did you gentlemen hear anything about the cryptocurrency crash yesterday?
I did not.
Oh, it's fantastic.
What kind of crash, Kevin?
The cryptocurrencies.
Oh, crypto.
There's a big list of them. Hal Turner had them the other day, yesterday. But to go over them, they're calling it a black swan event. And they've been devalued. There's just, in that list, some of them have been devalued 20, 30% in one day, in hours.
That's huge.
Wow.
It is. It's just like you said, huge. There's another thing. Did you know that in India that they drink and wash in cow pee?
I've heard that, but
go on the internet, look it up. They'll stand behind a cow, it's pissing, they'll drink it, they wash in it, they bottle it and can it and sell it. You can buy it in the United States.
Oh, my.
On Amazon, like $50 for a 12-ounce can. I mean, in the UK, they have all markets where they dispense it. I don't know what's behind that.
I was going to jokingly say, thanks, Kevin. Now you've given me another reason not to like Indian people.
Yeah, I really,
did you really need another one?
and Canada split up. I understand and me driving through BC and stuff. BC is totally Chinese controlled. Toronto's everything. And if they got Sikhs driving trucks, those are nobody to fool around with. Sikhs are really just they're armed people, aren't they? They're the warriors of the Indians, right?
Yes.
Sikhs are known for their knife fighting. Yeah, they're very much so.
Yeah, it is. And Canada is really crazy. How about the
Kevin? Let me say this. Let me ask you this, Kevin. Isn't it interesting that the warrior caste of the Indian world, they've sent them here?
Yes, it is.
I mean, yeah. Stop and think about that. I mean, the Sikhs have, for generations, have been known as the fierce warriors. You know, the wrestlers, the knife fighters. I mean, they are known in that area of the world as being fearsome. It's interesting to me that those are the ones that have shown up on the North American continent in great numbers. I don't know. Just another thought. I mean, I don't know.
Now they're putting wheels under them. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
I saw one of them. There was one in a jump school I went to. He wore the turban. It is squat mm-hmm. on the pot. You know, put his feet up on the pot and squat and things like that. They put up with him. I don't know how, but in our military, that was clear back in what late 70s. And then how about these 100% tariff on China, everything China sells that Trump put on that started last night? Did you see that?
Yeah, we talked about that at the beginning of the show. That's what we started off talking about. Yeah, it's basically retaliation on the raw earth minerals that we were getting from China, and they decided to jack the prices up on that, and that was what came out of it.
Yeah, that's something.
It is. It really is.
That's going to really affect everything. It doesn't matter if China produces it or not, but wherever they're selling it, everybody that buys it, Trump's putting a tariff on them. Wow. That's colossal. And I have one more story I want to mention to you. My great nephew, my brother's grandson, 17 years old, killed his first moose.
Oh, awesome.
Like September, nice. September, 20, September 25th. Yeah. In Maine.
Wow.
That's awesome. Well, yeah. That's great. I like hearing that.
I do too. The kid's on the right road.
Yeah.
Well, thank. Go ahead. Oh, hey. Was it you, Tim, mentioned being in Ohio a few weeks ago at a fairgrounds?
No, it was Will.
Will, yeah. Will.
I think. Yep.
Where are we at?
Yes, sir. I was up in Cambridge, Ohio, up in Guernsey County.
Don't make me cry. That's where I live.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. Oh, no. Were you at the Paul Bunyan show?
I was at the Bunyan show. Yes, sir.
Oh, my gosh. I drove by it. No, that's what they call
it. I wish I would have known that. Yeah.
Oh, man. It's off Fairgrounds Road. I leave here, and when I go to Cambridge, my main town, that's where I drive through, right past the entry.
I'll be doggone. Yeah, we were up there, and I got to eat at the Bear's Den. It's one of the finest places I've eaten. Nice place.
Oh, yeah, that's owned by a member of the Kimball family, and the Kimball family owns property from clear up in Cuyahoga County. You can walk on their land and never get off it going south.
Oh, wow.
To Ohio. They own properties all the way down. Indescribable wealth. And the Bear's Den is a regular. No kidding, I would love to meet you there. No kidding.
Well, I'll be back next year. So we'll have to do it then.
Yes, we will. Sure will. So thank you very much.
Yep.
Very much.
Thanks for calling, Kevin. You have a good day.
You too. God bless.
God bless. Well, we'll go. Let's see here. Looking at the clock. What do you guys know about this Chicago mayor? That it was calling for the arrest of the ICE agents.
Well, Johnson's something else. It actually makes me almost ill listen to him move his mouth.
I predict that dude is going to be one of the first local elected officials to be arrested by the feds.
Yeah, I wouldn't
be surprised.
That's a
good prediction.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Chicago is like, man, I don't think I'd want to. I used to spend quite a bit of time in Chicago years ago, traveling through there and stuff. And it's been quite a while. Last time I was in Chicago, I did not want to be in Chicago, and it was right after the during COVID and Black Lives Matter protest stuff. I mean, and it was downtown, and the only reason that I went because there was a person that was on the ministry, and I talked to him for years and years and years, and he'd been in the hospital and didn't think he was gonna get out, and didn't have any family, and he wanted me to visit him. And I agreed to go down there and see him. And I flew into Chicago and stayed close to the hospital that I was meeting him at, and went downtown a little bit. And it was not a place that it had changed drastically in, the 10 years before that. And I would not want to go there now. It's like you see in the stuff that's coming out of there. It's just, I mean, it's a bad place to be.
Yeah. I haven't lost anything in Chicago. There's no need for me to go there.
Right.
It's been a few years since I've been there, and I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I know.
I know all your usual cities, Jason, just Chicago and Portland and, you know, all of these places, they've kind of lost their mind as far as these riots and the targeting of the ICE guys and that sort of thing. And I'll clean it up for the radio and just the whole idea of FAFO, right? You fool around and you're going to find out. It's coming to that point of, the level, going back to the Chicago mayor calling for to arrest these ICE officers. First off, the union that represents the Chicago Police Department, they've already come out, and these are my words, not theirs, but they've pretty much come out and said, good luck finding the cops that are going to make those arrests.
Yeah.
Because the cops are siding with the ICE guys. You know, they're siding with the law and order side of things. So you're starting to really see some rift even within the local government of, I go back to that. I think, what you're seeing is more and more pushing of the rhetoric getting higher and higher and higher. And we've already, ICE is already, I think I'm right in saying this, one protester has been killed. I think it's only been one. And that was a situation where it was a female that was physically blocking with vehicles these ICE agents, and may have ran into the vehicle and they killed her. And I mean, that's not for us to really talk about right now, but I think you're going to keep seeing that. You're going to keep seeing these isolated incidences that are going to become more and more frequent. And I think it's just leading up to that point of, you're going to, I see a federal clampdown coming down. I think that is what is happening in the cities like Portland and Seattle and Chicago, that I believe we're going to see Battleground Chicago. I don't know of a better way of saying it.
I think that's where we're going. Well, I think people are not on this topic, but on a lot of stuff, they're fed up with Johnson. I mean, he's been a political disaster from the beginning, and now he's talking about. I mean, he's talking to his citizens, his people, and telling them to resist and fight against federal law enforcement officers. Go ahead.
No, I mean, Chicago, come on, do better. You're the Midwest, you know. Don't do this. That you replace Lori Lightfoot, a bull dyke, black lesbian, with this guy,
And, yeah. You know, this is, you go from that to this, and that's what you were saying, Jason, of, you know, you got a sitting mayor in a major U.S. city. I think Chicago is the third largest city in the country, I think, behind New York and Los Angeles. And he is encouraging the citizenry to physically fight federal law enforcement agents that are rounding up illegal aliens. You know, this isn't like they're coming and occupying neighborhoods of U.S. citizens and that sort of thing. This, it's just insane. It's insane.
Yeah.
And that's why I say, I think this guy is going to, he very well may be the first local politician to get arrested by the feds. High profile, at least. I don't know. I think it's going battleground Chicago. I really believe that.
Well, and the people in these cities like Portland and Chicago and the state of California that can leave have left. I mean, the good folks.
That's right.
You know, a lot of them are. I mean, if you look at the numbers, the outcome of them, it's just crazy. But the point is the good people that are left that are entrenched. For some reason, they can't live. They own businesses. They're deeply invested in those areas. Those people are doing. There's pushback coming, and it's going to be severe. I mean, as far as that goes, that's my opinion. Because at some point, you're going to hit that flashpoint, and it's coming. And right now, he's up there beating on his chest, doing all this bravado stuff, you know, where photo ops and everything else about how they're going to protect these people who are citizens of his community,
and they're not. I mean, that's the thing, is they're illegals, and that's what he keeps calling them, a citizen. How can you even have to me it's just an ice free zone. Oh, we're gonna have, you know, free zone. How does that work when you're talking about the feds? It's like, I mean, I don't even.
Well, if they leave it alone for a little bit, it'll be a target-rich environment for ICE. I mean, you know, they'll all move up there and you won't have to.
I agree. What Tim just said, I was thinking, okay, so you're going to move all the illegals into an ICE-free zone. If I was ICE, I would say thanks.
Okay, here we go. I mean, round them up.
Yeah. Okay, so we just need to, you know, set up a perimeter around these five square blocks. Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah. Wait a few weeks, let them all get in there. Boom, we got it.
That's right. You know,
somebody's talking about that in the background.
It reminds me of back in the early 90s of there were some fairly large municipalities across the country where the cops were doing warrant roundups, and they got smart. And they just used the last known phone numbers of these criminals that had outstanding warrants. And they were calling the houses saying, hey, you want a big screen television. You just have to come down to this warehouse and pick it up. And they cleared up about 50% of their warrants. People showed up to get their free TV, and they just arrested them. So, yeah, kind of the same idea.
You won the lottery.
That's exactly. Yep. Yeah. So. The thing that, and I know we need to move on from this, I'll make it just, I think this is, I try to look at the positive in everything. And to me, the positive of this is a crystal clear, glaring example of a divided nation.
Right.
There is, you look at this mayor of Chicago, there is, as far as will goes, there is not one thing I can stand on common ground with this guy. There's nothing. I look at that and I think this guy he is not a citizen of the country I live in my mind. I mean, I understand geographically we're all the United States or whatever, but as far as who I am and the people that I associate with and that sort of thing, this guy doesn't factor into that. And I think it's a positive. I want more guys like him. Because they're out there, 50% of the nation is aligned with that guy. I want them to become more and more vocal, and that way they become more and more apparent. Because we need to know who the enemy
they
is.
Are. Yes,
and the only way That's exactly right. The only way we can be sure and to be clear is for them to be vocal like this nut job. And so I don't know. I don't know if that's a positive way of looking at it or not, guys. But,
well, I think it goes okay. And then the next story that I want to talk about is this judge that released this illegal immigrant.
Oh,
who,
my God.
I mean, I hit this guy that ran him down, tried to run him down, rammed a vehicle, ran her car into other vehicles, trying to run an agent over. Basically, I mean, consider that attempted murder. And the judge releases her and says, oh, yeah, we can't hold her. You know, she allegedly did this, but we're just going to let her go. And it's like, I mean, to me, that judge is just, you know, yeah, he's showing who he is. He's showing what side he's on.
Did you hear the reason?
No.
Did you hear the reason that the judge cited?
Why?
Yeah, they had no real criminal history prior to this.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I forgot about that. Is that insanity or what?
If I try to kill you, but I've never had a criminal history before, then it's okay. He's only tried to kill one person.
Well, he didn't have any prior, so it's like, yeah, we'll let him go.
Yeah.
And now, thanks to a limp-wristed judge, she still doesn't. You know?
Right. So all of a sudden, you know, this isn't like a DUI where it's the first time we're going to let you plead it down to a public intoxication or whatever. So now we've gotten so insane in this country that attempted murder, you can get first offender status and be able to be released from jail with no bond, no criminal history of, yeah, we know you tried to kill that federal agent who was duly sworn and enforcing, enacted law. But we're going to say you've never done this before, so don't go do it again. And you can go now. Crazy, yeah.
I wonder if they, give him a check when they let him out of jail, too. I mean, you just don't know nowadays.
Well, maybe if they were wearing a turban and looked like they could drive a Peterbilt.
Well, and the other thing about this, I think, that plays into what we were just talking about, actually, is the Northern District of Illinois is located in Chicago and Rockford. So, I mean, that's where it's headquartered out of. So what you're seeing here is, another, what do you want to call it, tie-in with this corrupt mayor we're talking about.
Tim, are you saying if this was down on the Missouri border and it was a judge, maybe the same thing wouldn't have happened?
I that's exactly what I'm saying. I think that's a joke, yeah. Not to put too fine a point on it. Probably a pipe in her ear if it had been a different location, which is the other reason that these what do you want to call them, battles or whatever are taking place, where they're taking place at, because the players are in place there to protect, you know, the parasites or the predators protect predators. So we're seeing that go on. I think a clear example of it, brute test. So, yeah. And in regards to what you were saying earlier about these people coalescing around these leaders and everything else, I mean, it just goes right back into Matthew 13, which we've talked about before, the tares and the wheat. The tares, they're showing themselves. They're bringing it about. And it's not a bad thing. I mean, we now can obviously say that this federal magistrate judge is probably not necessarily McShane or whatever her name is. She's probably not a good person. I mean, that's she's probably not on God's side.
She probably wouldn't want to go shooting with us at the range.
No, I doubt. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Well,
I think when we look at these kind of things, I think we're seeing a lot of, another example of that thing that's going on, and this is kind of a fight. This would be the flip side, okay? I think it's interesting that that Liberty Vote, the chairman of Liberty Vote, I think his name is Scott Leyendecker, they bought Dominion voting systems.
Yes.
Which, in case anybody doesn't know, which our listeners, I'm sure, are aware of the fact that Dominion has been in our news and you know, crosshairs for the fact that fixing boats and is to hack this stuff. But basically, the purpose, one of the agreements of him buying this was to, part of it was they had to drop all the lawsuits against, like, One American News, different conservatives, MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell, Mayor Rudy Giuliani, Sidney Powell. They were ongoing lawsuits based on what these people said or what they did. And part of him purchasing that from was that they had to drop all those lawsuits. So that's now gone away. So that's kind of a, yeah, I don't know. I somehow think that that's a, what do you want to
win?
A win. Yeah. I'm sure there's some people out there who are breathing a little easier. So, knowing that that moved from their shoulders. So, yeah, that's one of those things, I think.
Yeah.
And,
well, looking at the clock, yeah. We need to move on. What, anybody have a prepper tip of the week? Anybody been thinking about that this week, or was it just too busy?
I read an article on whole house on power generation that, and I think we've touched on it maybe a couple of times, but again, times are becoming more perilous, and power is a big deal. Be able to make some power, either have some solar generation backup or emergency backup plans. It don't have to be huge, but kind of a big deal. That was one of my thoughts on it. So.
Yeah, and I mean, I know, just having, you know, everybody wants a big generator, and I'll tell you what, I really like the little ones. I'm a fan of those. I like those little inverter generators because they sip the fuel, and they, you know, portable. You can take them and use them where you need to. You're not going to power your whole house with them or anything by any means. But I mean, if you got a forced air furnace, you can plug it into that and it'll run a furnace. It'll keep your freezer frozen, your refrigerator cool. I mean, basically the necessities. Everybody thinks that they need a really big generator. Well, you know, try moving that thing around and, you know, stretching your extension cords all over the place. I'm a fan of those. And you know, I think that, yeah, depending on what anybody's situation is, this is, they're different, but yeah.
More affordable
along those lines. Yeah. One of the things that's in vogue and has been in vogue for a few years now is for the people that can afford it are the whole house generators and, you know, the gen racks and that sort of thing. And those are great. I'm not dogging on them at all, but keep in mind, folks, if you're doing that and you're hooking up to natural gas, you may be defeating your own purpose, because if you are dependent upon the natural gas company and the flow of that natural gas from downstream, what happens when the natural gas doesn't flow? You have a very expensive piece of electronic equipment sitting in your yard that's worthless. If you're going to go that route, look at having your own independent supply, like propane, feeding that sucker. I had that conversation a couple of days ago, Jason. I just wanted to, while we're talking about generators, throw that out there.
Yeah. And I talked to somebody that had one of those big Generacs, and they had it hooked up to propane too. And I think they had it was like a 500-gallon tank. And they were really shocked about how much propane that thing actually. They were without power for an extended period of time, like a week. And they said that they drained that tank in a matter of days. They couldn't believe how expensive it was to run that thing and how much juice that thing actually used up. I mean, it was a lot more than I thought. It shocked me when they told me, and I'd be lying if I told you the numbers, because I can't remember. But yeah, that's just something to keep in mind too.
Not overly efficient.
Well, smaller, affordable generators like what you're talking about, Jason, too. The other advantage is maybe you can buy two of them, because sometimes one quits, you know, or something.
Right.
You've got a redundancy that way. So.
Well, and I'll tell you what, the one thing that I've noticed about these little generators, I know we only got about 2 minutes left, but I'm the generators that I got. I got extra fuel filters for them. I've got extra spark plugs for them. Those generators, I've had them where they'll cook a plug every now and then, and that thing just won't start. And I had one time, and I mean, I spent 2 hours trying to figure out what the heck was wrong with it. And then somebody, you know, my mechanic buddy said, well, did you change the spark plug on it? I'm like, yeah, whatever. It looks fine. And this.
You are listening to the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network with Pastor Peter J. Peters, made possible by the tithes and offerings of the faithful. If you would like to be one of those who help to get needed truths out to others, send your